Welcome to No Room for Phonies, episode 93. And it's just us.
We'll be each other's guests.
Yeah, we will be. We will have someone at the end of the month. I'm hoping it is Sebastian to talk about what we're going to talk about right now.
Yep.
From his perspective. So this is called Discussing Significance Commitments, and it's from a book by Seth Godin called The Song of Significance.
And we'll put the link in the blog and the notes below the YouTube video.
Right. And then the big quote actually comes from this book as well. And the quote just says, give people the grace to grow. I liked that just because...
How would you define grace?
I think it's unconditional positive regard.
Yeah. We've used that statement before too. Never thought of that as if...
That is, you know, just believing grace. That even... And, you know, for some people, growth happens really, really fast. And for other people, it happens slow. So you have to just give people the grace.
Yeah.
To move at their own pace. No, I think when people don't grow, I think you have to.
That's when you
institute boundaries so that you can say to them, you know, boundaries are about, you know, how I treat you, how you treat me, how I treat myself, and I really can't allow you in a respectful way to just kind of stagnate, especially if you're talking about like a business or a employees. Right. There's a little puppy in the back. So if you hear any, she's playing with her puppy. So anyway, if you hear ruffling in the back, it's the dog. So anyway, I thought that quote was great. And like kind of before we talk about the significance commitments, and I believe that these apply to like anything, like business, family, like anything like that. But I think that sometimes we get confused that significance means status. And if you read Seth Godin's book, significance is just the ability to do the kind of work or do things that add to the, like, to the world.
To the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that fulfill you, like fulfill your, in, like not.
Well, they allow you to contribute.
Right.
Like in a way that is compatible with your values and who you are authentically. So that's basically...
But it's not about status. So somebody who derives a lot of pleasure out of a vegetable garden in their backyard that nobody sees, but they enjoy the organic produce that they produce.
Right, and they might make meals for their family with it. Like it doesn't really have to be... Yes.
Yes, okay.
So the significance commitments, I thought, really hit home for me. So
is this
I just,
kind of like, I haven't finished the book. Is this like a list of commitments that are kind of itemized in the book?
Okay. These are exactly as they are pretty much in the book.
Okay, great.
So I just thought we would talk about them. So significant commitments, according to Seth Godin's book, The Song of Significance. The first one is, we're here to make change happen, name the change, and be clear about who and why and how. So I mean, basically what he's saying by that is we're not here to just
cruise or coast,
no matter where you're at. Like, you know, you're always working on something.
Yeah. And it's not about your career or employment.
Well, I even think of it in terms of like parenting.
Yeah.
You're here to help your kid grow up, to change. So what do you want them to become?
Yeah.
Name it.
Name it.
Like you want them to become independent, respectful, like whatever.
And then the why you want them that
and
way.
Then
and
do
then
it.
How to do it.
Right? Like, I love this one. We are acting, when we are significant, we are acting with intention. And so any meeting that does not have intention should be canceled.
I love that one.
I just thought it was great.
For the workplace
like how
situation.
Many meetings have you sat through and you think, really, what was the purpose of this?
I know.
And so if you really can't find a purpose or an intention for the meeting, then it should be canceled.
At work, I mean, it's not my phrase, but the meeting that should have been an email is one thing that we do put them in emails. But then I try to at least 80% through the meeting, I look at the time and say, okay, what are our action goals? What's actionable out of this? Mm-hmm. And if people look around, like, well, we're still talking. I said, okay, so then I want you to make a plan, schedule in when you're going to keep talking. That isn't all of our meetings, like between among small groups of you, whatever.
So, and then the third one he said is that dignity is worth investing in when you feel seen and are given a chance to make a difference.
So that's thinking about giving human dignity to others.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like you are, you know, it is your purpose. It's funny because, you know, I'm thinking of all this like in terms of parenting and I had a couple of discussions lately with people about kids being given chores and, you know, being given the responsibility to make a contribution to the family. Mm-hmm. And that is giving them dignity, right?
Yep.
So
I really like the next one. Tension is not the same as stress, and tension leads to forward motion.
So when he talks about it in the book, he explains that stress is the unhappy feeling of wanting two things at the same time. Mm-hmm. But tension is the feeling that leads, like, it's like solving a riddle or looking for a possibility. Like, tension pushes you forward.
Okay.
And basically what he's saying by this is you can always relieve tension by reassuring and giving more time and insulating people from it. Mm-hmm. But if you do that, you're not going to get the change. Well,
going back to the idea of the puzzle, if somebody's working on a puzzle and you just reassure them, oh, you're going to get it, or don't worry about it right now.
Like, yeah.
Then the puzzle won't ever get solved.
Yes, and that's what he's.
Or, you have lots of time, and then it won't get solved.
Yeah, that's what he's trying to say by that. And then, you know, to go with that is like the other principles. Mistakes are a way forward, and you have to keep working at it till you find the path,
right?
Even though there's tension involved
and mistakes that happen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So
the next one's good. Take responsibility and give credit. So it's not always just your own.
So, you know, other need to have a chance to shine, connect, and enroll in the journey. Mm-hmm. So if you as the leader, because this is really talking about the difference between management and leadership.
Oh, okay.
A lot of the book is.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I mean, but it's the same as
but it can be in.
I mean, it's just applied to anything, right? You want to give other people the chance to shine and connect and be part of the whole thing. If you're just standing on top.
Well, it's the same thing as parenting. Uh-huh. If one parent wants to do it all and kind of leaves the other parent off in the dust, you know, then they don't engage.
And we've talked about this in terms of like being. Like being what sometimes wives do to husbands, right? Where they do everything and then up to the expectation.
Yes, but then also the husbands that speak for their wives' opinions and say, and then...
Yeah,
it happens both ways.
And then criticize the work, not the worker. Feedback needs to make you... Like feedback makes you better, mm-hmm. but criticism does not.
No.
So
it's really how you word it.
And I think like the one thing that I always did when I was having to have a conversation with anybody, and even with our own kids sometimes, you kind of take the sandwich, right?
Yeah.
And you bring out something about them that's good. You give those suggestions in there, and then you end up with some kind of encouragement so that they are, you know, are feeling good enough to, you know, move forward.
So then I guess in the work context, the next one, turnover is okay.
Yeah. 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 Like, but I even think of that in terms of relationships, not husband and wife and parent and child, but like turnover in relationships is okay as well. Mm-hmm. It's okay if a friendship fizzles.
Right. Or fades and then returns sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's, I think turnover is okay. I was just quickly... we work to fight turnover, but I think, sometimes it's just, you know, if you're not on the train or the bus, if you can't get on and go with the rest of them, then get off.
Yeah. And that's the part of turnover. It's self-identify and
get off, away. Right? Yeah. So, I think it's encouraging. He says, encourage your employees to keep their LinkedIn profiles and resumes up to date.
Yeah.
And because you actually want them to be part of the team in some kind of a voluntary way, even though they're getting paid for it, because they know they could go do something else.
Yeah.
That's the problem with some professions.
Right. They're locked in.
You're locked in.
Mm-hmm. Or you perceive yourself in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, I just think that mutual respect is expected. It's not reserved for high performers. It doesn't get suspended when there's a tough quarter or some kind of emergency. Mm-hmm. Respect is just respect.
It's just, and it's just constantly expected. Uh-huh. So the next I guess they're not really compared. The commitment.
No, commitment.
Is thinking of get to do something.
I get to do this versus I have to do
something. So there's a choice. And taking responsibility for what happens next. So,
you really care about what you're doing.
If I get to do this, then I care.
Uh-huh. Yeah. It's a mindset.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, I care about this. I get to do this. Every day I get to get up and go teach. Or every day I get to go up and make this or do this.
I was speaking to a young dad the other day and they're like, can't wait for the stage to be over. And I say, no, you get to do this now. And then the stage is over.
Yeah. And then you don't, right? Yeah. So standards instead of obedience, like values over passion, something that's a steady compass that provides lasting meaning rather than a list of rules on a wall.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really the same. You know, when I used to teach and I would say in our classroom or we would say in our family, we don't do that. This is how our standard is.
Yeah.
Then we don't have to set a whole bunch of rules.
No, because
you wouldn't, don't hit your sister. No, our standard is kindness.
Mm-hmm.
So then kindness means.
This is what it looks like and what it doesn't.
Right. Yeah. So, I love this one. Do the reading, understand what's going on and read your emails. Like, I'm just saying, I think one of the most frustrating things for
is the crickets.
is crickets, but also for you sending something to your boss and they don't respond is also the same.
Yeah.
Like, everybody needs to read everything so that everybody understands everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a significance commitment. If we want to be significant, these are the things we have to do.
Yeah.
So, he talks about show your work. And I always think of math, right?
Oh, yeah.
Work for others to read and learn from.
Mm-hmm.
So if you aren't sharing your work, then nobody else is benefiting from it, right? Mm-hmm. If you're building something, and I like at one point in the book, he says, here's what I created. You go ahead and make it better.
Right.
Right. So
rather than being possessive of it.
Yes.
And
wanting the credit for it. Like significance is about building something you care about that you're ready to share.
Yeah.
So if you are hoarding it to yourself, and I just thought that that was such a brilliant statement. Here's what I've made. You make it better.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I really did like that one.
So, and the next one is celebrating real skills. So the soft skills minus culture defeats strategy every time. Productive attitudes and measurable skills equals success. Interesting.
And the thing is, he talks about a story where he says if someone was not showing the skills required for the job,
mm-hmm.
you would fire them. But if somebody is like a negative thinker or a bully or a sloth, and they're good at the skill,
they're often kept around.
Right. You're not. But his theory is you get rid of the bullies the sloths and the negative thinkers because they are overall ruining your culture.
Oh. Okay.
And they're the people with the soft skills.
Yeah.
Right? Like they, you know, the measure.
Positive.
The productive attitudes plus the measurable skills equals success.
Right.
But if you don't have those productive attitudes.
Yeah, because we can all think of.
Like it's sabotage all the time. We can all think
of a situation at work and maybe even in relationships where the negative person is kept on.
And I because and
they're good at whatever.
Right.
Meanwhile, we could replace them
with somebody else who's
equal. Who has the same
doesn't quite have the same skills, but could certainly learn them.
But fits into the culture better.
Yeah. So one of the terms he uses is be a pathfinder, not an excuse maker.
Mm.
And I've thought a lot about this. How do you deal with the people who demoralize and undermine the entire team? And I think it's easier to deal with those people in non-unionized environments than it is in unionized environments.
Oh, they're protected and locked in.
Uh-huh. So, you know, I often think when I read things like this that I did a lot of those things that were whatever, but when you fight a unionized environment, it's really a lot more difficult to mm-hmm. move into that sort of significance. Well,
and unions were developed during the industrial era, uh-huh. and so they are actually a remnant of the industrial era.
Yeah.
And we're not machines, we're not robots.
No, and this is exactly...
We're not in the industrial era anymore. So they're becoming less and less relevant.
And this is exactly what he's saying in this book. Like, we need to move past that into this world where we are worrying about significance, which significance meaning I'm in a position where I get to do something that I care about that makes an impact, that makes a difference.
Yeah.
And so if I'm... I really felt in some cases, like when I was working with really, really good, you know, teachers, you know, and you think of the rise of mediocrity, like mm-hmm. that they were almost feeling as if, well, if I do too much, and then they would be told by other people, hey, you're making me look bad because you're stepping up and you're doing all mm-hmm. this.
Meanwhile, the others are not looking for... They're not showing their work. Mm-mm. They're not mm-hmm. looking for significance.
And that means that they aren't feeling very good about themselves.
Yeah.
And there's where you'll go back to the quote at the beginning where you say you have to give people the grace to grow.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, how do you deal with those people who are not on board? And
turnover is okay in some cases, but in a unionized environment, there is no turnover.
No, there's not usually.
No.
I mean, you can encourage people out the door when they're close to retirement.
But that's a lot of years of...
It's a lot of work to encourage them.
Yeah.
Like you have to be... Like I've done it and mm-hmm. it's a lot of work to, you know, hold up the standard and say, yes, I am going to... monitor your work, and so then they go, oh, you are, and then they just retire, mm-hmm. right?
If they're close to that age.
But I believe, and some people disagree with me, but I believe that if you don't somehow find a way to deal with the people who are demoralizing and undermining the team, that the other people that who are working hard get mm-hmm. discouraged and give up.
Yeah. All the more reason to go back and celebrate those skills. Mm-hmm. So if you celebrate those skills to the point where the others are pale in comparison.
Yeah. And then
they might just
does this
up.
Move up? No.
It's already, and I can move it up.
Okay. Yeah. I just, because I wanted to look at the one thing like where it says take responsibility and give credit.
Yeah.
Like, I remember working in an environment where the leader gave credit to every single person, not just the people who deserved it.
Like, evenly across the board?
Oh, your room looks great, and wow, you're doing... And then he got to me, and I went, if she's doing great, and you're going to tell me that I'm doing what she's doing, just keep walking.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to be...
complimented on par with...
her
mediocrity.
Like that, it's very obvious that we're not at the same level.
Mm-hmm.
So I think when you, and he talks a lot in here about authenticity.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're not being authentic in what you say to other people,
yeah,
like you don't have to do comparison,
no,
but you know, you can be honest and say, well, you know, you are, I can see that you really tried in this area, but, and I am going to offer you support.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was having this discussion with somebody the other day, and the person, one of the people needed to improve. And I said, well, I always felt that if I wanted, the first thing that I always did was identify the exact areas that they needed to improve. And then I would provide support and time
mm-hmm.
for them to improve.
Yep.
And if they didn't jump on board, then that becomes like behavior.
Yeah.
And you have to deal with behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Like if somebody is not doing something properly and you offer them the support and they don't move forward, then that's a behavior problem.
Mm-hmm.
It's like when you say to your kid, your bed is a disaster, here, I'll show you how to do it,
mm-hmm.
and they don't,
yeah,
that's a behavior. Or you say to them, this is what I need you to do with your laundry, and they don't,
mm-hmm.
like I'll help you for three times, and then I'm going to expect you to do it yourself.
Yeah,
that's, then it's behavior.
Yeah.
And it's, if we let behaviors go,
ability. Yeah.
So I think it's a really interesting list. And it says, he talks about the fact that we need to teach decision-making and eager participation and dancing with fear and speaking with authority, working in teams, seeing the truth, speaking the truth, inspiring others, doing more than we are asked, caring and being willing to change things.
Yeah.
Like we need to show people those things.
Those are the things.
Like as if you're those actually. Are,
that's
if
a
you're
completely new almost list of soft skills that
yes.
aren't even being taught yet.
But those are the skills that leaders need to show.
Right.
Like if you really want to have a significant workplace or mm-hmm. whatever,
mm-hmm.
you need to show, you need to model, mm-hmm. which to me, teaching is modeling,
yeah.
decision-making and eager participate. Like, for example, if you're at the college and your boss says, we're going to do this, and you go back to your team and go, oh yeah, now he's making me do this.
Mm.
What has that now done? Trickled down, right? Yeah. Immediately.
Immediately.
Right. And so, and risk taking,
mm-hmm.
you know, working in teams, seeing the truth, like you need to model all those things for other people. Yeah. But that is a whole new list of soft skills.
Yeah.
So anyway, I would really.
So I'm holding up the book here. The back cover. Yeah. The Song of Significance. And I like the quote on the back of the book. The purpose of a beehive isn't to make honey. Honey is a byproduct of a healthy hive.
Yes. And it is true. I'm actually...
Just think of like the image, the literal meaning of honey and sweetness.
Uh-huh.
So the purpose of a job place isn't to make everything sweet and
smelly happy.
And happy.
Well, and it's the same...
As a byproduct.
I think it's the same as families too.
Yeah.
Like I think we get into this idea that, you know, we have to have a Facebook ready family when mm-hmm. really families are actually about working through stuff and learning decision making and risk taking and, you know, working as a team and seeing the truth and speaking the truth and,
mm-hmm.
you know, inspiring and doing more. I mean, the soft skill of doing more than we are asked, like if everybody did that on a regular basis,
we wouldn't need unions.
We wouldn't need anything because if everyone just had that as a skill that they wanted, that they actually want to do more than they're asked,
mm-hmm.
like just picture our world like that. And picture our world if every parent instilled in their kid, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think I model that for our kids. I think I still do.
Of course I do.
You know, you give them more than what they've asked for.
Yeah.
Because that's what you do as a parent, yeah. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, on July 30th, we're going to get Sebastian in here, and I want his, he's listened to this.
Yeah. And so it's also available on audiobook.
Yeah. So I want to hear his perspective as a 20-something who actually works in a non-unionized environment.
Yeah.
And he's
low mid-management.
Yeah. Yeah. He is. So anyway, so thanks for joining us for The Song of Significance by Seth Godin, and for listening to our list of the commitments that you need to make in order to find significance.
Good night.